Okay, so the last 3 weeks, we've been focused here on Sunday mornings on mission, on the mission of God. And 3 weeks ago, I preached a message on the mission mandate and then said that in the following 3 weeks, and this is the third of those weeks following that message, we'd be looking at the way in which we as a church commit to cross-cultural missions. And there are three ways in which we do that. And one of those is through the focus on supporting Emmalyn Hart, who's working with Iris Ministries in Mozambique. And she was here with us 2 weeks ago, which was a joy. And she was able to share with us that morning all that's going on in her life and with that ministry. And then last week, we talked about Spain and our, you know, long-term commitment to Spain. We've been there ministering in for probably 21 years, nearly. This church has had a commitment to Spain, specifically now to the Basque region of Spain that we've been committed to for a long time. And we had one of the Rojas family who are ministering there with us last week. That was Gabrielle, who's up in Lewiston and here for a season. He came and shared a little bit, and we talked about that. And this morning, we're going to focus on the third of those areas that we contribute to, pray for, go to, and kind of participate with. And that's the Ministry of Harvest Hands in Costa Rica. Now, I want to take, we're just going to go through in a very simple way this morning, but what I want to do is just pose a few simple questions and answer those in terms of crystallizing for us what it is that's happening in Costa Rica and how we're a part of it. So in answer to the kind of where question, Costa Rica, for those of you that may not be familiar with it, and if we have a map there, as we're going to show, you can see right there where it is located in Central America. And it borders Nicaragua to the north, Panama to the southeast, the Pacific Ocean to the west, and then the Caribbean Sea to the east. And in terms of the demographics of this country, I'm not going to give you a lot of information, but just this. It's kind of a mix of indigenous people plus a lot of those from European and particularly Spanish descent, as well as African. And there are a lot of immigrants in Costa Rica that have come to the country primarily from two places, and that's Colombia and Nicaragua. And in fact, the Ministry of Harvest Hands and where it's located and the people to whom that ministry is focused on are in many cases Nicaraguan refugees or Nicaraguan immigrants that have left their country for a variety of reasons and have come to Costa Rica and have settled there. Currently, this is a country, it's a tiny country, a country of 4,300,000 people. And for those that have been, and there's quite a few people in this church that have been on one of the short-term mission trips you're going to hear more about this morning, know and can attest to the fact it's a really beautiful place. It's a beautiful country. It has lots of mountains, it has long coastlines, it has large expanses of rainforest. We were at a place, was it last year? Yeah, where the rainforest comes right down to the ocean. It's really on the back end of our trip. It's a beautiful place. They have lots of national parks. It's got a tropical climate. They basically have two seasons, the dry season and the rainy season. The temperature never varies much, I think we were told last year, between about 10 degrees. But it's also a country that's got real needs. It's a country with a lot of social problems, including a lot of racial tensions, a lot of illegal drug trade and cartels, a lot of child abuse and sexual exploitation. There's some very real challenges that that country faces. And it's a country into which, in the area of Los Anonos, just kind of on the outskirts, I guess it is, of San Jose, that God has placed this ministry called Harvest Hands. And I just want to share briefly a little bit about the history. This was a ministry planted there in 2006 by the Mechanic Falls Vineyard. And God just apprehended them to, in a major way, to birth this Ministry of Harvest Hands in Costa Rica and in this community known as Los Anonos. And to do so with this primary objective, to extend God's mercy and justice in a practical way. This is the language they used. To extend God's mercy and justice. Because our God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. In a practical way to those living in the oppressed communities surrounding San Jose. That was their reason for going. That's what God apprehended them to do. To go there and to bring God's mercy and extend it and his justice in practical ways. And you're going to hear much more about that this morning. To those living in oppressed communities around San Jose. And the community of Los Anonos is an oppressed community with very real needs. To whom this ministry has been ministering now since 2006. So who's actually spearheading that? Who's leading that charge? Who are the people that God apprehended in Mechanic Falls Church back in 2006 to go and birth that ministry literally in that place with God's help? Well, for those of you that have gone and are familiar with who they are, you'll know it's Rodney and Cindy LaFrance. But for those of you that don't, there they are. Many of you will know Josh and April that were in this church for a long time. Josh used to be the overseer of our worship ministry, and they moved to Bethel, how many years ago now? Five? Yeah, I thought it was about five, with their precious kids, and they moved out there. Well, Rodney and Cindy is Josh's parents. So that's a kind of great connection there. But they moved from Maine to Costa Rica in 2006 to begin this ministry. They've been there from then until now, and they continue to minister there. And they continue to lead Harvest Hands. They have this home right that kind of sits up looking down over the community that they're a part of and that they minister to. It's a great home that God has afforded to the ministry and the church. Purchase for the purpose of having a base and a place that teams could come to and minister out of, as well as the ongoing team that Cindy and Rodney lead. And they've also planted a church. They've raised up there and are raising up La Viña in the vineyard in Los Anonos. And I mean, it's literally a stone's throw, their facility, from where their house is, just kind of down the hill a little bit. And accessible to everybody in the community that they're seeking to reach. And Rodney and Cindy have just become such an integral part of that community. They're known, they're loved, they're respected is the sense I get as well from the couple of trips that I've been able to go on. And this poor, needy, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say in many instances, drug-infested community that they're ministering to, is one in which I think Rodney and Cindy and all the others that participate in an ongoing way or through periodic mission trips are really conveying the merciful and just heart of God to in real tangible ways that make a difference in people's lives. And they have great testimonies of transformation that they've seen over the years. What I did ask them to do, because they couldn't be with us here this morning, but the beauty of technology, providing it works, is that they've recorded for us a simple greeting to the church. And so for a couple of minutes now, they also have someone else with them called David Jimenez, and he works with them. He's kind of the associate pastor there that these guys have been mentoring and developing and training over years, and he's with them. So, Jim, can we just play that short video now?
Here in Los Anonos, the Vino Anonos, here in Costa Rica, and we just want to let you know that we love you and we're really appreciative for everything that you're doing here.
We have been here since 2006 when the Vineyard Church in Mechanic Falls bought this house. We came down with the intentions to help the ministry that was already serving in the community, and it has grown into a new Vineyard Church called Vina Anonos. This church has grown quite a bit even since we planted it.
And this has all happened because of the investment that the partnership in the churches have made over the years. It's been wonderful, and I don't believe that we would be where we are today if it wasn't for the support that we've received from all the supporting churches that we've had over the years. It's been wonderful. And with us is David. He's being raised up. He's going to be the pastor here in this community. And maybe you have something to say to me.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. I just want to thank you for all the awesome job you've been doing here, helping in our community, the people, you know, like building houses and providing them stuff and they can't afford by themselves. And as Rodney say, I'm going to be, or I'm doing already a pastor job at the church. And we feel support when we see teams from other places. You know, we feel like we are a whole family, and the family of Christ is like one body, and they're helping us too. And that's how we feel when you guys come down to Costa Rica. So I'm so thankful and for what you've been doing in this community, helped our church.
Yeah, we're also looking forward to the future and everything that we're going to be doing here, and we're in a community that continues to need help and support, and we're really, again, we can't thank you enough, church, for being a church and your people. You guys are awesome.
Church, this is Juana. I don't know if you remember her, but you helped her to build her little house. So she wants to thank you for what you did in her life and with her family. I'm so thankful for the help you bring to me. And thanks God for the opportunity that you guys give us a place to live. It helped with the change with my kids. Even with the change of environment, they are better now in classes. And even in the way to act and in the way to express themselves, they're better too. Thank you so much.
I know there was a lot of collateral noise with that, but you could still hear, hopefully, what they shared, and just know how very much they appreciate the people that have come from here, the prayers that are offered up consistently for the work that they're doing there, and for the commitment to continue to do that. And really, there are various ways in answer to how we can participate and how we do participate. And they are simple, really, to pray, to give, to go, and to serve. And what's really become the primary manifestation of the way in which we go and serve together with Rodney and Cindy and what they're doing there is really through something that really Bill and Sherry, who are going to come up in just a second, have been the catalyst for that in this church. And have now for how many years have you gone?
We've had five projects.
Yeah. So there have been five projects now, short-term ministry teams that have gone down to do specific projects that Bill and Sherry are going to come and share about right now. So guys, would you like to come on up? And let me give you this mic.
Thanks, Mario. That wrecks me. I had done a little history, a little background, a lot of which was covered with what Mario just covered. So we're going to go into looking at some of the pictures that have taken place over the years. And they're in sequential order. The first ones you're going to see was the first trip we did. It was 6 years ago. We skipped a year, so there's been five projects in 6 years. And before we just keep going, during worship this morning, it was such a prophetic picture of what goes on in Costa Rica. The three different songs that I was focusing on just was perfect for this morning and what we're going to talk about. So, the background and the genesis of the way this started was In 2007, we got together with Rodney, actually hired him to do some work on a house that we were building. And we were there talking, and they had been in Costa Rica for the year prior, and they were home during the summer. And he said, you know, he had this vision of, you know, and he's a contractor like I am, and he had this vision of trade guys coming down and doing construction projects in Costa Rica, and he planted a seed that day. And it's just the following year we put together the first trip. We went down and we did some work on a Christian school, which you'll see pictures of, and that was the beginning of it, and that's, you know, that was the kickoff, and that's what really was planted and was nurtured and flourished in my heart. And from there, it's like, we got to go again. Trey wasn't so sure the first year, but she signed on, and I think that she's all in at this point. So, again, the seed was planted, and what we're here this morning to talk to you about is we're on a little recruiting mission. We want to plant a seed. I want to plant a seed, and I think God is going to probably speak to some of you about participating in an upcoming trip. We have a trip planned for March of 2015, March 9th to the 19th. Those are our dates. And we have a number of people that are these things tend to flow over from year to year, and once you go, you want to go again. Go figure. So we have a couple positions. We have a couple places that we want to fill, and we want to talk to you if God is talking to you about this. If God is planting a seed, He is interested in the yes in our hearts and our taking the first step. And I had a couple of scriptures here, and I thought it was interesting. One was in the Old Testament, and I'm going to read it to you. And the kind of the cool thing about it is that both in Isaiah and in Romans, I'll start with Romans. It says, how will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news and good things. And it talks about feet. I mean, it starts off with our taking steps. That's the first step, is just saying, yes, this is something that I want to participate in. This is something that I can sign on to, and I'm going to take steps to continue. The other verse is in Isaiah, and says, how lovely are the mountains. On the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, our God reigns. So it just kind of fit that number one, they're talking about bringing the good news, you know, back in the Old Testament and in Romans again, in the New Testament. It just kind of spoke to my heart, and I wanted to share that with you. So, again, we're going to be going in March. We're looking for, we'd like to find some people who have some skills in this area. Although there are other things that happen while we're there, there's ministry, there's everyday ministry that goes on. We go into the streets and pray for people. We go into homes. We go on prayer walks. And the Costa Rican people are very friendly. They open their arms, they open their doors, they want prayer. Like Mario was saying, there's a serious drug problem down there with young men and older men. A lot of the young guys that we ministered to, Rodney's picked out of Los Anonos, and it really dovetails well with what we do there because he's teaching them trades. He's trying to get them out of this life that they're in, brings them in, and they work with us. There's pictures here of you'll see a picture, one of these shots of Marissimo, who every year this young man just jumps in with both feet. He is very gregarious. He's very we don't have to speak. We can just communicate. It's like he knows the next step in the process when we're doing a project, and he is he's one of the guys that Rodney's taken underneath his wing, and in doing so, he helps teach them a trade and a way of providing for themselves, and it just works so well with what they're doing down there. The children. Last year, Ruth headed up a group, which included my daughter Kaylin, and they went into the schools. They had doors open for them, and that's what happens down there. You don't know quite how the door is going to open, but it does. I can think of 2 years ago where that bus stop was built. We got a lot of pushback from the neighbor who lives behind that. And the city came out, and we started talking about permits, which no one uses permits in Los Anonos. I mean, there's no permit application. You just go do what you're going to do. So once there was, just to stay focused on that bus stop, once the word got out that there was this woman behind her was putting up a stink and calling the town and the city, actually, the city of San Jose, which has jurisdiction over Los Anonos, I think within 2 hours, she had a notebook full of signatures from everybody within Los Anonos saying that we want this bus stop. And that prompted a meeting between Rodney and the assistant to the mayor of San Jose. And when they came out, looked around and said, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. Go for it. Don't come in and get a permit. Just go ahead and do it. And so, again, those are the kind of doors that get opened during this time in Los Anonos. God's hands on everything, and that's really that's what's so intriguing, because it takes a step of faith, because you got to believe in what it is that's going on, and God shows up, and despite what might look like a roadblock in front of you, what are we going to do? What do you mean we can't build this bus stop? And then all of a sudden the doors are open, and off we go. So back to the recruiting part. There are several places, positions that we're looking to fill. And if you have some skill set, you don't have to be a finished carpenter or someone who's been necessarily in the trades. We have some of those people coming with us. But we're interested in hearing from you. Sherry has information on what the costs are, the itinerary, how it plays out, and we'd like to hear from you, and we'd like to take a few new faces again this year. And if it doesn't happen this year, there's the following year. So I just want to close this part by quoting a missionary. His name's Jim Elliot. Many of you know who he is, what he did back in the 50s. And the guy was pretty amazing. And the story that goes along with it. They were missionaries in Ecuador during the 50s. Went down there with his family and brother-in-law, I think. And he gave his life in the process to... he was killed by the indigenous tribes there. And his quote is, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And that there's just that is so powerful. What he did, how it happened, and how his wife, in the end, evangelized that tribe. So, I'm sure my wife has something to say. So I'm not going to take any more time.
Actually, I told him, I don't have anything planned. He said, "Don't worry, you'll have something to say." So I've been sitting here thinking, I don't really know, and yet I really do think I do know. And it's really because I want to be transparent. It's easy to look at us and say, oh, you know, they've been doing this, and, you know, oh, you know, let me, or maybe it looks like we're comfortable. Well, he probably is, yeah. You know, comfortable in doing this. And the thing for me is I'm very comfortable right here. I'm really comfortable right here. I love you. You love me. I love this, right? And I, you know, to be my, who I am, part of me, it's, and it's safe. So for me, stepping out, not only, you know, the just traveling somewhere I've never been, a culture and a language that I don't speak, which, as you well know, I like to speak and I like to communicate. And that's been that's been an area of frustration, one that actually I think I need to learn Spanish. I've said that. I take notes every single year from each trip. What worked, what didn't work, what I want to do, what we might want to do differently the next year. And that one keeps coming up, and I have not done it yet. But I want to speak to you, even if you don't go on a mission trip, even if you don't go on this one or go to Spain or possibly Mozambique, God still calls us out of our comfort zone daily. And I'll be the first one to admit, I'm not good at that. I am not good at that, but I want to be. I just want to be able to say, yes, God, here I am, as that song that they sang this morning, you know, and that God will lead me as soon as I say yes, as soon as I say I'm willing and am willing to lay down what I'm doing. And I feel like that's for all of us. We all need to do that. And every time we do, he meets us. Those, you know, we go there, and I know we've said this, and I know you've probably heard it over and over again from people that go on mission trips. We go thinking that we're helping them. Yes, we do help them. But I don't know. The balance on that is definitely they help us. They help us because they help us see that life isn't just here. Okay. So anyway, pray about it. Come and speak with us. As Bill said, there are some people we know are going to go again, particularly those that have a lot of skill in that. So we only have a few spots that I think are available. But I can at least tell you what the cost would be approximately. So feel free to chat with me or Bill after this. Thanks.
See? That was good. That was very good. You know, and the other thing in preparing for this, I just thought about the last couple of weeks, what Mario has been sharing, and what Emmeline and Gabby last week shared. And I thought about the number of people that this church sends, not only to Costa Rica, Spain, Emmeline and Mozambique, but we're sending people out those doors to Sanford, Naples, Maine, and the number of people that have participated in these missions, or the mission, I should say, is enormous. I look out here and I just thought about it this morning for a little bit, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of what's going on in this church, and that's what we're supposed to do. So I just want to encourage you all, and all of you. I sound like I'm from Tennessee or something. We need to spend a minute here and just flip through these things. There's one other clip that I just wanted to make comment on, if those can still roll. Again, and when talking about going on a trip like this and having skills in the construction area, I don't know if it's going to come up yet, but there's a picture up there with our good friend Young Suk. This girl has an anointing for dirt, okay? You might have seen it. She's got this pickaxe above her head. There it is. That was the year that we did the bus stop. And that in the Zaza with Jacqueline, yeah. That space was like concrete. There was concrete, but the dirt was like concrete too. And they prepared the ground. And it took us like... you know, the small project, it's a small little structure. It took us like 3 days to get the ground ready before we could put a piece of wood in the ground. Poured concrete by hand, I don't know, hundreds of bags of concrete. And we kept prepping that area and that sidewalk, and Rodney would come back and say, I'd say, we need more concrete, Rodney. And he'd run, grab 15 more bags of concrete, come back. Rodney, we need some more concrete. Another 15 bags. I think we did about 60 bags, 70 bags of concrete to get this little ramp and sidewalk poured for that bus stop. But it's a lot of fun. You rub elbows with your brothers and sisters. And if you haven't been on a mission trip, we want to talk to you. Okay? Thank you.
That was good. Thank you. And I have to say that these guys have done a phenomenal job in leading these five short-term mission trips there to do these projects over the last 5 years. And they've been really gracious in letting me go on a couple of those. And it's not hyperbole to say it's transformative when you're there and able to minister and be ministered to, as Sherry was saying. And there's lots of other things. I mean, she and Robin were doing Sozo sessions last time, and so that ministry is going on, and lots of other things, as Bill alluded to, in the community, going to people's homes, praying for them, and doing all. It's just it's an amazing experience. And if God is speaking to you and prompting you, talk to these guys. I just want to finish by saying, could somebody do me a favor? Cynthia, could you do me a favor? Out on the table in the lobby are those focus brochures. Could you bring one of those to me? Thank you. Just want to take a moment to close out this morning by talking revisiting again, just very briefly here, ways that you can participate. And as Sherry said this morning, not everybody's going to go on one of these trips, and not everybody's supposed to. But all of us are supposed to be doing what both Bill and Sherry were talking about, and that is kind of going and sharing in different ways that we can do that. Thank you very much, Cynthia. I appreciate that. Praying, participating, giving, encouraging. We, several years ago, decided, because we have these three different areas, I guess the proper way to say that is foci, but rather than focuses. But we developed what we have called focus, which is basically a way of being able to bring those three missional endeavors under one umbrella. These brochures are out on the lobby. And if you don't have one of these, I encourage you to take one, because it's a stimulus to remember just to pray and be engaged. And this stuff's on our website too, but this sometimes can be, having something tactile in front of you can be a good stimulus to that. And inside of this, what we have is just a brief description of the three ministries with photographs of those that are participating. On my far right, it's Harvest Hands; in the middle, San Sebastian; and on the left, Heart Ministries and what Emmeline's doing in Mozambique with Iris Ministries as well. And in addition to that, we have on this side here ways in which you can participate. And we talk about three different things, and I just want to rehearse this again to you this morning. And they are these. These are ways that relate to what we've been talking about over the last month. The first thing is being partners. Being partners. And there's a phrase that we use in the Vineyard. And this is something that I think that Phil Strout, may have been the person that kind of first coined this phrase, at least within the context of the Vineyard, when he was working in cross-cultural missions with the mission task force for the Vineyard. And it's the whole idea of partnerships. We have lots of partnerships in the Vineyard around the country, where Vineyard churches cluster together into partnerships. I've told you, we're in a long-standing partnership with Lewison to reach Spain. Now, they're also involved in Costa Rica, in the Dominican Republic, just as we're kind of in an indirect way involved in Mozambique, and in a direct way, coupling with the work of Harvest Hands in the Vineyard Church, as you heard this morning, in Costa Rica. So it's the concept of doing together what none of us can do alone. And that's not only a good motto for churches coming together in partnerships to reach cross-cultural missions needs. But it's also a good word for us inside the local church. What we're doing together. And by doing it together, we can do something and achieve something that none of us could achieve on our own. And without this church doing it together, we would not be in these three places in the ways that we are, contributing to the works that are going on there. So being partners, being intentional partners. And then the next thing is, how can you participate in that? And we simply lay these things out in the brochure here, which are to pray, to stay informed about what's going on, to go on short-term mission trips of the kind that you heard this morning, to serve in different ways, and that might mean going on a trip. It might mean doing a fundraiser here at home and raising proceeds that can be given. It could be organizing a prayer gathering for intercession. There are various ways in which we can serve, and giving financially and sacrificially. And one of the things that you can do, there's a registration form in here. We have a number of people in this church that do this. But I'll be frank with you and say it's a rather small number. Many more people could be doing this in the church than are. And my challenge to you is to prayerfully consider that. Now, we support all of these mission endeavors out of our budget. There are monies that go. But this is for you individually to be able to make some contribution. And we had the blessing recently, I'll just tell you this, we had the blessing recently of seeing that focus budget based on individual members of the church who have been faithfully giving over the last year accrue to a certain amount where we could cut checks and send them to each of those three groups of missionaries and bless them over and above what they get from this church out of our budget. And, you know, we get to give. And it's a joy. When we give, it's a real joy. Whether we give by going, whether we give by praying, whether we give by serving in some way, or whether we give some of our financial resources. And I think we should be doing all of those things in some measure. It's a blessing to the work of God. And as Bill said this morning, this is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, the church exists for the benefit. Someone once said a long time ago, and it's worth repeating, the church is, now I don't believe the church is an organization, so let me just put that out there. We're a living organism. But the quote goes like this. And this was a spirit-filled guy that said this. He said, the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. That's why we're in business, to use John Wimber's phrase. It's to go and give them, as our good friend Bob Frederick always used to say, to go and give them Jesus. Go and give them Jesus. And this is the way that we, in this season, are doing this in our church, cross-culturally. And obviously, it has to happen in our community. It has to happen here in Maine. But what we've been focused on this last month is the mission mandate. And part of that, from the lips of Jesus to our ears, is unto the ends of the earth. And this is the place where God wants us to focus. And as we've heard this morning, Costa Rica is one of those, and Los Anonos is one of those communities that he's reaching with his love, mercy, and justice. And I want to thank all of you for being a part of that, for praying, for giving. And if you're not giving financially to this, pray about that. Ask the Lord. I think he'll bless you if you can give in some measure. And I know it'll be a blessing to all of these missionaries and to all of the communities that they're seeking to reach. So I'd like to just this morning... Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to say, actually, and it's the third of those things. It's being, now there's no such word as per sisters, but, you know, I like alliteration and I wanted a P, and I thought persistence is important, so I'll coin a word. So there is no per sisters in the dictionary, okay? But so don't go looking it up and sending me an email later and saying, you should know there's no such word as persisters. I know that. But what I'm trying to say is we can be partners, we can be participants, we can be persisters, people who persist. And persist means this in relationship to what we're talking about missionally. Engaging cross-culturally for as long as it takes to accomplish God's purpose. That's what we're about. That's certainly what these guys are about. that have gone to these countries and that God has apprehended to do so. It's persistent. You know, in the Christian life, persistence is important. We're exhorted to it over and over again by Jesus and by Paul. And persistence takes character. It takes stick-to-itiveness. And God gives us the grace to do that. We need to persist. And we're going to continue to do that as God gives us the grace and the orders to do that in these areas. So I'd like to ask you to stand this morning. I want to just close with prayer. And as we close out with prayer this morning, I'm not calling a ministry team up. I haven't done that the last few weeks. Because what I want to do this morning is just commit Costa Rica, the work of Harvest Hands, Lavinia there, and also, again, Spain and Mozambique and the works that are going on there. And commit us as a church to the grace of God as we continue to play the part that He's asked us to play. So would you just join me as we pray and close out this morning? Father God, we thank You in the name of Jesus for the work that You are doing in Costa Rica and specifically this morning in Los Anonos. And we bring Rodney and Cindy before You, David and the others that are there on an ongoing basis as part of the team that You have sent and You have apprehended and You've raised up there. We speak the blessing of Your grace over their lives this morning, over their work. Fill them with Your Holy Spirit. May the wind of Your Spirit blow across their lives and across the community of Los Anonos this morning. Father, I pray that Your wind, the wind of Your Spirit, would blow away the power of addiction, the power of addiction that is robbing people of the life that You have for them. And Lord, I pray that Your wind would blow upon broken lives and bring mending and restoration and salvation, deliverance, renewal. Lord, I pray that You would provide every means and for the needs that Harvest Hands has and the Vineyard Church there. Lord, I pray for this upcoming mission trip that we will be engaging in again as a church. Lord, I pray that You would put, as You do every year, You would put the team together that You want to be there. I pray if there are people in this room this morning that You, in Your sovereign plan, want to be a part of that team this year, You would speak deep into their spirit. It would resonate loudly within them. You would give them ears to hear Your call and a heart to receive it, obey it, embrace it, step outside that comfort zone, as we heard this morning, and into a place of faith. And Lord, we just want to commit all of the cross-cultural efforts we're engaged in as a church, and particularly these three areas, Lord, that You've committed to us to. Pray Your prosperity and the advancement of Your kingdom in each place. Bless each of those that are involved in leading those missional efforts that we pray for. Lord, I pray that You would open up an opportunity for a team from this church to go to Mozambique. That's the one area out of these three that we've not yet sent teams to. And Lord, you know my heart in that. I pray that You would open up an opportunity for us to send a team to Mozambique to work there in the Pemba area with Iris Ministries and with Emmeline, Lord. So, Father, we commit all of this to You today. I also want to pray this morning for Gail Culver, who's in Nicaragua. They've had amazing and devastating mudslides. People have lost homes. Communities have been completely ravaged. And they're there working in that orphanage, and they're surrounded by it. It's been very devastating. I'm not sure if you've heard about this on the news, but Gail sent out an email earlier in the week. Rick spoke to me again earlier today. Let's just pray for God's provision. Lord, would You move in that area of Nicaragua right now where all those mudslides have taken place, those homes that have been demolished, those communities, those farms that have been taken out, people's livelihoods, Lord. God, we pray that You would minister Your love, provision, and mercy into that situation. Bless the leaders, Lord, of that orphanage. Bless Gail, Lord. protect them, put a hedge of your gracious protection around them. Meet their needs, Lord. I pray that all that needs to get there in terms of the logistics, medical supplies, other needs that they have, Father, would you open the doors, make it possible for those provisions to be made in a timely way. We just commit them to your love and thank you for the work that Gail and others are doing there in that orphanage. Lord, thank you that you've called us to a life where we can go in our hearts, even if we don't go physically. We can be a part of your mission here in Maine as well as across the globe. We love you, we bless you, and we rejoice this morning in the privilege of being able to be a part of the mission of God. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.